Hey there, welcome to The Horrible Show. It's Wednesday, July 28th, 2010. I'm your host, Justin J. Devil, and got quite the full crew here tonight, and we'll just go around real quick. We've got Tommy and Indy. How's it going, Tommy?
Pretty good. What's up?
Cole out in California.
What's going on?
Christina here in Indy.
Yes.
And Ethan also somewhere else in Indy.
Hello.
We are going to be focused today on the value of your $15 and your downloadable content, as we've been playing a lot of downloadable games this summer and had a lot of debates about whether or not a game is actually worth its price of admission. And so we'll be getting to that, but before we dive into video games, I just thought I'd get caught up with everybody. And Tommy, it's been a while since you've been on one of our podcasts.
Actually,
I think the last one was one of our tests before we actually went live. So just thought I'd get caught up with you and kind of dive into our threesomes of the week segment, where you just kind of tell us what media has had your attention for the past week or so.
Okay.
What you been watching?
Oh, not much. The last movie in the theater I saw was Inception, which was awesome, of course. But been pretty busy with life, so haven't been watching much else. And as far as games, a few weeks ago I kind of went all in on Just Cause 2 and got a little burnout, so I'm still getting over that, so I'm just kind of playing some Angry Birds on my iPhone, and but I think I'll be ready to jump back in pretty soon.
So it sounds like a bad breakup. What did Just Cause do to you?
I think I was just playing it too much. I was doing missions like crazy and finding locations like crazy, and so and then finally I finished the story missions and entered mercenary mode and found out that I was really only like 47% done with the whole game and just kind of got burnt out. So,
well, I don't know if you've seen it on our site since you made the post, but it's kind of got a little bit of a big world to it, so I'm sure the missions only barely scratched the surface.
Yeah, but I still love it. I definitely think it's got more replay value for myself than Red Dead Redemption, because ever since I finished the missions for that, I haven't even really had the desire to go back to it. So,
gotcha. But what about as far as like any listening to anything? Are you playing anything? I know you've got your live shows.
Just kind of listening to Pandora while I work. And
any particular station? Give me something.
I've got a station that I've worked on for like 3 years that started out based on Vampire Weekend, but now it's just kind of pretty big mix. So,
gotcha. Do you have a link? Do they link to those stations?
I think you can share them.
All right, yeah, maybe shoot that my way so we can show some people what you've been listening to. All right, we're going to jump to Christina.
Hi!
Is Christina there?
Oh, yes, yes.
Don't step on your cat anymore. So what's, besides work, I know you've been drowning. What's been holding your attention while you drink away your sorrows?
Sorrows, just overwhelm, a lot of work, late nights. I have been, let's see, I watched Inception last weekend. Badass.
Who hasn't seen Inception out of this group?
Me.
Me.
All right. Well, it's awesome. Go see it so we can talk about it more. But okay, Christine.
Okay. My bad.
Let's see. What else? What have I been playing? Crackdown. I've been doing a Crackdown 2 co-op kind of on and off last week, and
I'm impressed you're sticking with it.
Well, I'm kind of over it, but the only reason why I'm getting on is now that people have bought it, I can play co-op with them and I can get the friggin' co-op orbs. Cool. So yeah, but I am over it. I would like to sell it, and it's already worth like $40 on Amazon, so it's gone down, you know, pretty quickly in value, which is not surprising. Because it is just a huge repeat of the first game with some minor improvements. So
debatable improvements, huh?
It's I mean, some of them are good, but, like, it doesn't make it... It's not a $60 game at all.
Yeah.
So, and...
You've actually got a review coming up here pretty soon. We'll be putting it up on the site here in the next week or so.
Oh, yes, for the crack?
Yep.
Yes. It's fun, but, yeah, again, like, rent it. Don't buy it. Gotcha. Or buy it used now on Amazon. $40. So,
I don't know, music, books, or maybe even another TV show or something?
I've been, let's see, I haven't been watching any TV because I don't have TV anymore. I've just been watching stuff on Hulu and Netflix. I started watching Pushing Daisies, which I always start watching these series after they've been canceled, and then I get really pissed off when I like them. So,
What did the creator of that do before? I know he came from something.
I want to say he did. He worked on the movie Amelie. I'm seeing like major influences there, and I could be wrong about that. But like, even some of the music was the same, and just the style, the narration, and really reminded me of the movie Amelie, which is a really good French movie if you haven't seen it. Very cute. I don't know what else he's worked on. I'm bad about looking up who did what beforehand.
That's fine.
I really would like to see the new Futurama episodes, but I have no means of doing that right now. So
they're fantastic. The show is back for sure.
How can I watch it? Is it available anywhere online?
Surfthechannel.com.
Surfthechannel.com. Bless you, sir.
Did we just promote piracy?
Yes.
All right, just checking, just confirming. It's fine. All right, we're going to move on to Ethan, Mr. Wizard Train. It's been holding your attention.
I have a really eclectic group that I'll be talking about. Number one, I've been watching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I'm
so far behind, but that show is so freaking funny. Like, that reminds me of the kind of guys I hung out with in college. I mean, we just really had no good ideas, and we were really convinced they were good ideas, and we got in trouble, and we were rude, and we were stinky, and it's an unbelievable show. And my wife even likes it, so we can sit
That's
and enjoy
good.
It together. So, yeah, so, it works out.
It's always hit that show's always hit or miss with the ladies.
Oh, she laughed. Green Man. She loves Green Man. So it was a good one. Music wise, this is I've been listening to ambient Halloween music. The kind of stuff you listen to it like a haunted house, and you walk in and a band actually that I have 3 CDs of. I don't have 3 CDs of anybody, but I have 3 CDs of these guys. It's called Midnight Syndicate. They actually just did a movie, but it's actually cool music. It reminds me of, you know, some Resident Evil type stuff, you know, a little bit of the haunted house stuff, but I listen to it on my way to work every single day. I've got quite the commute, and people, if I got pulled over by the police, they would think that I'm some type of creepy guy. So I really awesome. Enjoyed that. You know, I don't know. It's hard to explain. On the game front, StarCraft 2,
so
I love
that,
that game. Say it again.
Did you pick that up today?
Yeah, I had to. I had to. I was forced. I was surprised, too, because I figured, you know, they'd all be sold out. But it's cool. I mean, it's great. The cutscenes are unbelievable. I think everyone's probably seen the trailer. And that's just the trailer. I mean, literally the very beginning, it just really gets you pumped up to play the game. There's not a whole lot that's changed from the first game, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
And I played some Dawn of War 2, and actually I'm not as good with the tactical RTS games as opposed to the, you know, not that StarCraft is not tactical, but, you know, I'm not good at using all the superpowers and stuff like that, you know, that were kind of introduced with Warcraft 3. So this one is kind of back to how it used to be in the Command & Conquer days. So I'm looking forward to playing more of that. And again, it's worth every penny. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
I bet. Yeah, but I don't doubt the production values. Just RTSs just aren't my thing anymore. But I'm pretty sure Blizzard doesn't need my money for that one. So
I think they're doing okay.
Yeah, I think they'll sell a couple copies. What about you, Cole?
As always, been watching movies on Netflix on the Xbox. I watched 2 movies that stood out to me this past week, Black Dynamite. Has anybody watched Black Dynamite?
No.
So it's this blaxploitation movie, but that recently came out like last year, starring Michael Jai White.
Spawn.
And he's a badass in this movie, but it's like, I don't know if it's making fun of those movies or being like an homage to those movies, but it's horribly bad but great at the same time, because it's bad on purpose and it's pretty funny. And there's a lot of people in it, like Arsenio Hall's in it, Tommy Davidson's in it, the black cop from Reno 911 is in it. I don't know what his name is, but and they're all pimps and drug dealers and stuff. The next movie I watched was not great, starring Bruce Willis, Surrogates. Oh. Has anybody seen that?
No, it didn't look that good.
No, it's really not. It's really not. I don't even know. It's just kind of dumb. Like, so these people are like locked in their houses and they have these robots that live their lives for them, and you know, something happens and he has to investigate. It's just boring, and I fell asleep a couple times during it.
I remember seeing the trailer for it and I was just like, how unnecessary is this movie? Like, it just seemed like another movie in the mix that is adding absolutely nothing to the sci-fi genre. Just I don't know. It's we have this open slot. We don't have a sci-fi movie in our queue. We need to just throw one out there, and I don't know. It looked very odd. It looked like iRobot meets Minority Report.
It's AI. It was just...
Yeah, and AI.
Yeah, it just... Don't watch it.
Okay.
And then the game I've been playing this past week is I jumped back into Mass Effect after taking a couple weeks off. I was getting near the end of the story, so I decided to stop playing the main story and jump into the side quests. And the one side quest I did so far took me like 3 hours. So I was like, oh shit. Here we go.
Nah, they're not all like that.
Okay.
But that's funny. I play those games the opposite way. I do the side quests first and get overpowered for the main missions is usually how I go about it. So, but sometimes it's hard to know what's the side quest, what's the main quest, or at least what main quest is going to trigger it, so you can't go back
right.
further. So
right. So that's why I was just going along and I was like, certainly, I mean, this can't be near the end. And then I asked you what you thought and then looked it up and I was like, oh shit, I better jump back and see what I can do. So
yeah.
What about you, Justin?
Well, I thank you for asking, Coleman. I also went and saw Inception last week, was pretty blown away by it, but that then drew me further to watching Shutter Island for the second time, which I watched Shutter Island the first time about a month ago and loved it. And it's definitely worth seeing twice. And
Do you pick up on a lot of stuff that you might have missed after seeing it the first time?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's a completely different experience watching it the second time too. It's really good. And I don't want to say too much because there's a lot to it, but I really dismissed that movie when it was in theaters just as a, you know, oh, Scorsese and Leonardo they still have a crush on each other and they're making a movie, but that it's a really good movie and kind of a shame that it didn't get more attention because I loved it. And from that movie and Inception, anything I've ever said about Leonardo DiCaprio, like he's a solid actor. I will go see anything that he's in from this point on, because I don't expect to see him in a Titanic like role again. He is
the dude for sure.
He's won me over, that's for sure.
Somebody's got a man crush.
I'm okay with admitting my man crushes. He's he's a badass. And the other side thing to Inception was is it Jason Gordon-Levitt?
What's Joseph?
He's now the new rumor for the third Batman movie to be the Riddler, and
he would be awesome.
And after seeing him in action in Inception, I'm all for it. So
have you seen?
Wait,
Brick?
I thought Johnny Depp was doing it.
That was just the generic rumor. No, that was before they even are actually talking about making Batman 3. So
have you seen Brick reprise that role?
I think he should. I think Jim Carrey should, but do like a new Jim Carrey role, like his 23 character, and try
to
crazy Jim Carrey.
Yeah, not.
I think he could do it.
I think he could too, but that would be really weird. But
one of my secret little dreams is to have him, like, he needs to win an Academy Award because I think he's got it in him. And, like, Man in the Moon, and what was the other drama that he did?
Truman Show.
In Truman Show.
Eternal Darkness.
Oh, Eternal Sunshine for the Spotless Mind. bringing it back to the games. Yeah, no, I thought he was amazing in those, and I would like to see him win an award someday.
What's up, Cole? What were you going
to
say?
I was going to say, bringing it back to Joseph Gordon-Levitt, if you guys haven't seen Brick, you should watch Brick. it's a great movie that he's in. And then there's another one where he's like a hockey player that gets in a car accident. I can't remember what the title of that movie is, but you guys should watch that. He's a great actor. If you see, 500 Days of Summer, he was really good in too, so...
Okay, I'm glad you said that. I was about to pipe in with that, but I don't know if anybody liked that. I really liked that movie. That was a really good movie.
Hey, are you going to call them out for their man crush there, Christina?
Man crush.
I was going to say.
Mine is on Morgan Freeman, sorry.
What about Angels?
Really?
What about Angels in the Outfield, though?
He was.
Yes.
With Tony Danza?
Yep.
That's my man crush. Let's not even stumble on that field. That is my man crush.
Before getting into Tony Danza.
Music-wise,
the new Avenged Sevenfold album came out today. I've been a huge fan of theirs the last couple years, and actually their main songwriter and drummer died at the end of last year, and so it was really interesting to see where the album would go, but it still sounds like them just as good as ever, and they're definitely one of my favorite new metal groups. So I recommend checking that out for any hard rock fans. And then Game of the Week will be part of our debate today is I'm still in love with Limbo, regardless of everything else around it. So trying to go back and they have an achievement for beating that game without dying 5 times. And
still can't do it.
I think I died 5 times within the first 5 minutes of playing that game. So... that'll be interesting to see if I stick with it or not. All right, now let's look at everything else we're going to talk about today. Next up, we're going to do our on-the-spot question, then move into our big downloadable debate, talk about some HorribleNight.com updates, and any last-minute shout-outs before we take off. So this week's on-the-spot question actually comes from Ethan. It is, what is the most embarrassing game that you have ever loved? That game that you have played a lot of and were fearful every minute of somebody walking in on you playing it. And actually, Ethan, we'll start with you.
It was a good game, but I'm going to go with Wii Boxing because I just got so into it. And, you know, it'd start out casual, then I'd start to sweat, then I'd end up taking a shirt off, and I'd just punch and punch and punch and punch, you know? And... I was really excited. I really thought I had a career in boxing until I actually went and boxed and got the crap kicked out of me. So I love to play that with people, but I couldn't, you know, because I get really upset at them. And then I'd start to turn towards them as if, you know, oh, I accidentally hit you with my Wii remote. That's got to be it. I have a puddle sweater on me. It's horrible.
Don't play Wii Boxing with Ethan. So, I think though you should go back and try it with the Wii Plus motion controller and see if that helps your boxing at all.
I have to check it out.
Maybe the fidelity was really all that was wrong with that. Tommy, what about you?
I had to think about this one for a while because I know that I've played some embarrassing games in my day, but I think I settled on an old school game in the 90s, Sega Genesis. I was pretty addicted to the Aerosmith game Revolution X.
not even in the arcade.
Played it in the arcade first. I think it was like at a bowling alley, and saw it at a KB Toys in the mall, and convinced my mom to buy it for me, and played it a lot, but.
That game thought it was so badass.
Yeah, and
but
I did
you're just
too.
Shooting records at dudes.
Yeah. And so I wouldn't have been embarrassed at the time. I probably told everybody I knew about it, but yeah, that's not one I've went back to revisit.
how quickly do you think that revolution just ended, you know, as soon as they ran out of records? I mean, or a weapon that could possibly shoot that, you know? This was a really bad idea, guys. Let's just start over again.
We need to rethink our revolution.
I'm just glad they never tried to make a movie or a Saturday morning cartoon on it.
I could have... Oh, I wonder if they did anything else related. It seemed like they created... You know, created a game world for it, that there had to have been a comic book or something that, I mean, it seems like a lot of wasted thought and energy if they didn't do anything else with it, but you're right. Yeah. Thankfully and hopefully they didn't do anything else with it.
Yeah.
What about Cole?
I was going in the Wayback Machine. I remember renting this game more than once, and there was one time when we had a two-hour delay because of bad weather, and I didn't want to go to school because I was playing it like the whole 2 hours, and that is Bubsy in Claw's Encounters of the Furred Kind. I'm even embarrassed to admit it right now. It's like a game I rented for the Super Nintendo. It's just, you know, your generic platformer, but starring this lovable furry creature named Bubsy.
I remember Bubsy.
It was back in those, everybody needed a mascot for their company and needed a platformer for that mascot to be
in. It was developed by Accolade. So.
What system was that on?
I played it on Super Nintendo. It came out for Genesis, too. Gotcha. It's one of those multi-platform classics.
Classics, in quotation marks.
Spawned many sequels.
That's true.
Bubsy 3D.
Somehow.
I don't know, whatever.
What about you, Christina?
Oh my god, I just forgot it. oh wait, there we go. Tie the Tasmanian Tiger. And yes, I only got it because it had the word tiger in it. Even more embarrassing, the sequel.
You bought the first one wasn't enough?
Apparently not. Because I like that mindless kind of
go
to this world and collect 100 of these glowy things. And, oh god, terrible voice acting. It was all like, he was like this Australian Tasmanian tiger, and you ripper, and you beauty, and oh god. So that one, yeah.
So is anybody developing a current gen version of that game, do you know? Are you following it?
I don't think so. I know that you can still, they were Xbox games. I know you can play at least one of them on the 360.
Somebody went back and made the patch, the backwards compatible.
It's called Connectimals, Justin.
Oh, she's gonna be reviewing Connectimals for me just to come over and play it on my Kinect.
That one will be one that I'd be embarrassed to.
Maybe that should be our first Horrible Night video series is Christina and her tiger. It won't be, but we will never show what's on screen. We'll just show all the actions that Christina has to do and make it really creepy.
Sounds great.
So let me write that down. My embarrassing game, I'm going to go recent. I could go back a ways, but recently, when I picked up Nobi Nobi Boy for the PlayStation 3, there's definitely that fear of having to explain that game to someone when they walk in the room, because it is about as Japanese and off the wall as you can get, and just I don't even know how to explain that game, but there's basically, you have this little creature that you control both ends of it with either analog stick, and you can just stretch him out, and the goal is to just see how long he can get.
It's very phallic.
Yeah, and it can make you very uncomfortable very quickly, but I also like showing that game off, so maybe that shouldn't count, but I think that says enough about what kind of weird games I like. All right. Now let's move on to today's topic. What we're going to do is kind of, like I said earlier, with the summer of arcade, there's a lot of downloadable games that we've been looking forward to for a while now. And I think we already assumed what the pricing was going to be for a lot of these, but we didn't really know much about the experiences. And what kind of set this off was last week when Limbo came out. Everybody was super excited for it. We were talking about it during our Meanwhile post, and everybody kind of had an opinion, but in general, everybody was looking forward to it. Reviews were looking good, and I gotta say, I was, even though I knew it was going to be $15, when I saw it and actually had to make the purchase, I kind of did a little bit of a double take, and it just got me thinking that, wow, the rest of these games are going to be $15, and that's just become the evolving norm on Xbox Live Arcade, is that $15 mark, and those $15 doesn't go as far as it used to, especially when the system started. So we're just going to kind of go through a couple of our standout games and talk about whether or not we really feel that if the game was worth the price of admission, or and then just offer some final opinions on those so you can spend your money wisely. And so everybody's kind of picked out a game here, and let's start with Tommy and your game this week.
All right. One of the games that I was probably most excited about before it came out was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 4, Turtles in Time. They just called it TMNT Reshelled. Basically, they took Turtles in Time and they just updated the graphics and made it 3D, and that's really all they did. But I just, you know, it's kind of a cool concept, and you know, it beats playing your old ROMs to some extent. So, you know, day one, I put down the $10 for it. With Microsoft points, you know, it makes it kind of easy not to realize that you're spending $10 or really think about spending $10. So I don't really know if it was worth it. Because, you know, once I played through it, I really only went back a couple times and played it. But it's one of those games I'm glad I've got on there anytime I want to play it.
Here's my question: Is it only the 3D graphics, or can you play the classic mode?
I think it's just the 3D graphics.
Okay, and then how does it gameplay wise? Does it feel like the other one? I mean,
yeah, it pretty much feels exactly the same. They got a lot of the little details down to like throwing the foot soldiers towards the camera.
yeah.
So. It looks great, and it makes you wish that they would do things like that more often, especially with, like, you know, the Ninja Turtles, what was that Smash Up game that came out for the Wii? You know, instead of basing things on kind of the new versions, they need to kind of give the fans some service. But you know, maybe it probably would have been worth $5, you know, a lot more than $10. But, you know, they added multiplayer, too, so...
Christina, I saw you've played this game too. What do you think? Is it worth $10?
$10 if you're a Ninja Turtle fan.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's exactly the same as the side scroller. I didn't notice any difference. And I mean, it's been a long time since I played the original. But yeah, it's I like it. And yeah, go buy it.
Cool.
Turtle Power.
I actually didn't pick this one up, but I played the original Turtles in Time, and I bought TMT Arcade, the 1989 version. And actually, I still play that game with friends randomly, just because we all have fond memories of it. And it was $5, and that's what made me not think. Essentially, the gameplay in these two games is the same. But it's gonna be $10 to play this new one, just because it has new graphics that, in my opinion, didn't. I would rather have the old graphics. And I started thinking, especially since they've redone the special editions of the Monkey Island games, and one of the features of those games is you can switch back and forth between the new high def graphics and the classic pixelated graphics. That would have been a nice trade-off if they had included the old version. Then maybe I could see the $10, because kind of the two games in one thing. But the fact that, really, I feel like, just memory-wise, I have more fond memories of TMT Arcade than I do of Turtles in Time. And
same.
And that, for $5, seems like the better purchase to me than the $10 for Turtles in Time. So.
Yeah, that definitely would have made it a lot more worth it if they would have included that. It's kind of surprising they didn't, because like they didn't even you know, they didn't go back and replace the music. It's straight up just the same music that was in the game, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. They did some new cutscenes, but they're kind of like not really animated. They're just kind of stills that are barely animated. But I don't know. I think there's just something about that original game that, you know, with the levels that are based on, you know, dinosaurs and pirates, that I think that's what makes that game kind of cool, even though it is basically just an updated version of the 89 arcade.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I think the 1989 arcade was the first thing I ever bought on Xbox. So that was like day one, because that's like my favorite game ever. So
yeah, I guess that's my only other, the only other thing would be the original Xbox Live arcade games were cheaper, and maybe that's just the $5 is the new $10, and maybe they felt actually are viewing them as equals. But to settle this debate, Tommy, since it's your game, did either myself or Christina convince you that the $10 is worth it? Who was right? Who was wrong?
I'd have to agree with Christina that if you're a Ninja Turtle fan, it's definitely worth it. I'm sure some Ninja Turtle fans have spent a lot more than $10 on a lot worse things. but yeah, it's fun. I you know, just to have it, get it out every once in a while, you know, I think it's worth it.
Fair enough. All right.
I was right. You were wrong.
Shut up. Shut up. We don't need to beat that in. I'm not a sore loser, but shut up. all right. Ethan, what game do you want to talk about today?
We're going to talk about Castle Crashers, actually a game developed by Behemoth. One of the co-founders was Tom Fulp of Newgrounds fame. And people made the comparisons to Final Fight and Golden Axe. I actually want to turn the obscurity switch up and compare it to something closer to King Arthur and the Knights of Justice. Anybody play that?
Was that based on the cartoon?
I don't know if it was based on the cartoon. I do know you mean the cartoon where the football players went back in time and became...
Yeah.
I don't know if it is about that. I don't know.
What? Just happened.
I think I remember that game.
You know what I'm talking about? It's a side-scrolling game. You picked up potions and that kind of thing. Well, besides that, I just wanted to make a more accurate comparison. It's great. It's a side-scroller. It's got RPG elements, which I always like. It makes the game last a lot longer. You know, it's a button masher at times, but there's some strategy involved as well. You've got, you know, fields with you've got magic, you've got, you know, armor, you've got speed, you've got your offensive capabilities. You're able to pick up new spells and new weapons along the way. It's a really deep game. I mean, it's surprisingly deep. And if anyone ever played Alien Hominid, which is also from the same developer, you know that, you know, they're going to give you your money's worth. I mean, I want to call them an indie developer. I almost, at this point, they've got it down. I mean, they're probably one of the premier indie developers right now. People are really excited about the games that are coming out. And this one I anticipated. At one time I had BioShock, Fallout 3 and Castle Crashers on my Xbox, and that's all I really had, and that's all I really needed, because all of those games gave me more than enough to do. So it was a really, really great game. I really enjoyed it.
Cole, I saw you played it. Was it worth $15? That was the price of admission for it.
It wasn't my style, really. It was just one of those things, like, oh, I thought it looked cool, but... I don't know, a side-scroller kind of beat-em-up is just not something that I'm really into, so I'd have to say I would have paid less, or rather than $15.
So, if that's not the type of game you're into, what made you buy it?
I like the art style a lot. I thought it was really cool.
Was it missing something that you expected?
I don't know. I can't really tell you why.
Okay. Wanted to give you a hand job while you played? I mean, what?
That yeah, $15 for a hand job in a video game, that sounds pretty decent.
Okay, that's just missing the hand job. I'm with Ethan. It was on my radar for a really long time, but again, just for my love of Behemoth and Alien Hominid and their art style and coming from Newgrounds and actually, you know, moving forward and becoming a serious developer, and not that they weren't serious before, but they're actually getting noticed and getting support, and I love that angle to it. But this is definitely one of the games I have the debate between $10 and $15. to me, should set the bar for what you should expect out of $15, and that it's got a very good production values and some unique gameplay elements and something else, like and kind of like an added feature, which in this case I would say would be the art style, which is what elevates this game. And what I did appreciate about the game, it's really simple in its gameplay, but they have so many characters you can go back and play it with. The co-op is really, really great, and they have some kind of multiplayer mini games just to kind of round out the package. So if you're looking at it from just the core game single player, I can see why people are disappointed at $10. But there is more to this package than just that core game, and I think that's what elevates it to being okay for $15. So I would say it's definitely worth the money, and they also have DLC available for the series now. So, Ethan, who was right, who was wrong?
Well, I mean, Cole's obviously wrong with this one.
But it has a hand job, though. What's wrong about a hand job?
I think they do have a hand job DLC coming out later on this year, so you can get that. But, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head, Justin, is, you know, it's for those people that love to have achievements in a game. You know, you can go back, you've got all those characters, you have all the weapons. I think it's, I mean, $15 is, I almost thought was a pretty cheap. I would have bought that game in the store for $20. You know, I really would have. It was a really good game. Multiplayer added a lot to it. It made it even more fun. So, again, I thought $15 was the least that they could probably ask.
Cool. All right, moving on to the next game. Cole, what do you have?
My game is Shadow Complex, and it's on the store for $15. And like Ethan with Castle Crashers, I would have paid a lot more for that. It's just everything I like in a game. I really like Castlevania Symphony of the Night, like I've said before, and it has, you know, it definitely echoes that, and also Metroid, which I've never really played Metroid, the original. Yeah, I never have. I mean, I've always wanted to. It's just one of those games I never got.
Wait, the original Metroid or Super Metroid?
Super Metroid. I played the original Metroid. I meant Super Metroid. Yeah.
You need to go do that. You don't know why you like these games.
Is it on the Wii yet?
Yeah, it's on Virtual Console, I'm sure.
All right,
I'll double check that while you keep telling us about the game.
So it's like a 3D graphics on a 2D plane that, you know, we've talked about in Reply to All before, and it's just a great game. There's like objects you got to find. I mean, the story is not great, but the story doesn't really matter. It's just fun to play. You get like rocket packs, different types of guns, or like, you know, a double jump for the rocket pack, different armor, different types of guns, like a foam gun. It's just, it's a lot of game for $15.
Let's see who else played this. We've got Ethan, what did you think? Is this game worth $15?
I absolutely agree, actually. The production value was pretty impressive for that game. That game took me a really long time to play. I really like Metroid, those type of, you know, games where you had to find items and keep moving on, and if you went back to areas you'd already been, you discovered new things. I mean, it kept you going, and the graphics were amazing, I thought. I thought it was really cool, and a game I still haven't beat, and I've put 10 hours into it, so for $15, that was a steal. Another game I would have bought, you know, in the store.
I mean, yeah, for $15, like, there's in 10 hours, I mean, I put in probably 10 hours just in the single player, and there's like the challenge mode too. Like, single player on Call of Duty doesn't even last that long, so I mean, I know that's not necessarily what you're buying that game for.
That's a good point. 10 hours single player, $15.
Yeah, so you definitely get your money's worth. I mean, a dollar, you know, a dollar and change an hour, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then I think the best thing that you could say about that game is my wife, I was playing it, my wife walked by while I was playing it, she's like, you downloaded this? This isn't a box game? So there you go.
The wife factor. Before I pretty much just echo what you guys have been saying, Tommy and Christina, this was a pretty flagship Xbox Live Arcade game there for a while. I mean, Epic actually was pushing it touting it as one of their helping out a developer to make the game, and they were touting that the Unreal Engine in this and doing more than just being a first person shooter. So it had a little bit of a marketing push behind it, and I'm kind of curious for the both of you why it slipped through the cracks with you and maybe why you didn't pick it up. And Christina, I'll start with you.
Didn't even know about it.
Okay.
Fair enough. That's it.
What about you, Tommy?
Yeah, me too. When did it come out?
I believe it was a Summer of Arcade game last year.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's the kind of the downfall of the summer games, I guess, is especially if you're one of the middle Summer of Arcade games, they're kind of easy to miss. So, yeah, I was just curious because it's definitely a flagship Xbox Live Arcade game. I mean,
I spent $300 to play that game. That says anything.
It was a system seller for Cole.
Yeah.
The other thing, I couldn't agree more with Ethan and Cole. It's a standout experience for me, and it's got another man crush of mine in it, and Nolan North is doing the voice of the main character, and he basically makes it sound like Nathan Drake, which is fine by me. It's a Nathan Drake type of reluctant hero, and he fits that really well, but just the fact that his voice was in that made the transition a little smoother for me. I just wanted to throw that in there. And so, Cole, I guess I'll go ahead and sum up for you of who was right and wrong. Basically, anybody that's bought this game was right, and anybody that hasn't is wrong. So,
yes.
And it includes people that only have a Wii and only have a PlayStation 3. You're wrong for not buying a 360 to buy this game. So
couldn't have said it better myself.
I'm glad that's settled. All right, Christina.
What?
What game are you going to talk about today?
Well, I'm going to talk about Limbo, and that is not the game where you bend over and break your back trying to go under a pole.
Before you get going, we're going to try to be careful to not spoil it since this is...
Oh, yes, certainly.
Since this is a new game, but go ahead.
Yes, it is a puzzle game, so, like, I won't talk about any parts specifically. But it's a lot of trial and error, and the style is awesome. Just kind of backlit, 2D silhouette, just black and white side-scroller. With some physics stuff to take into account, and I just thought the animation was great. They've got kind of this cool vignette and depth of field thing going on, and it looks great. And you would think that it would justify the $15, but I think about two, maybe 3 hours into it, I had beaten it, and kind of went, well, that was a lot of fun, but now I'm down $15. So, once you play through it, you know how to do it, so it's not much of a challenge after that. You can go through even quicker. So, doesn't really have much replay value for me. Looks cool, and I hope that if it comes down in price, you know, if I could do it over again, I'd buy it cheaper. So,
gotcha. I also spent a lot of time with Limbo. Actually, I probably beat it in, I'd say, closer to 4 hours, just because I'm a little bit methodical, and I was kind of proud of myself on this one. I didn't go look up how to solve any of the puzzles, and I got stuck twice, pretty hardcore, where I was basically staring at the screen for 35 minutes, so that's probably where my extra hour came from. Incredibly satisfied with the experience in the end and overall, and looking back, I compared it to Braid, which is what I'll talk about next. But I felt like, yeah, this is just right in line with these artsy puzzle games, and it's. I've paid this money before, and I'm happy with it now. And then I went back and checked my facts, and only to discover that Limbo is $15 and Braid was only $10. So that's kind of what triggered this whole conversation for me. Was I don't know if that's worth $15, and I'm going to go ahead and say that it's not. It should have been a $10 game. And not taking anything away from the team, because this is an amazing experience, well thought out. I can only imagine how the creative sessions they had to tie all of these puzzles together, because it's one continuous experience and really fun to play. But it's kind of a one trick pony in that regard. So you've got puzzle and physics gameplay as one feature. You've got the art style as the other standout feature. And I think I need another big feature for the other $5. And that's kind of where I've been at.
Can I make an argument for it being okay to be $15?
Go for it.
So I think all of us have seen a movie in IMAX and they're around $15 and we don't get to keep it and rewatch it again. So, I mean, are you getting more entertained by an IMAX movie, or are you getting more entertained by a game like Limbo?
See, that's where I struggle with this debate, because a lot of people try to relate it to the amount of time you spend with the game. So how many dollars per hour are you really getting? And yeah, I'll still argue that Braid and Limbo give you more for your buck than some of the other larger 6 to 8 hour games that are $60. But I'm just trying to make some sort of comparison between the rest of the $15 games on the system and some of the $10 games. And
sure, sure.
Braid is only a year old, and it
came out at $10, right?
Yeah. This one surprised me. I didn't hesitate picking it up, but it was more of an afterthought of, compared with everything else that's $15. I mean, you talk about the games that we've been talking about so far. Shadow Complex and Castle Crashers are they're also completely new experiences made from the ground up, but they offer several different gameplay choices other than just their single player campaign too. And both of them are a lot longer than Limbo. And and then you look at the other games we talk about, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle games, both of them, the $5 and the $10 game, they're Turtles in Time had the new art style and it was a little bit longer. It had multiplayer in it. So I'm sticking with my, it should have been $10. So Christina, who was right, who was wrong?
I'm afraid Justin is right. Just not enough gameplay, no repeat, no co-op, kind of a one-trick pony. So, yeah. But, I mean, really hats off to the people who made it. Like, it's a cool concept, and I'm going to curse and scream if they come out with, like, you know, an expansion or the next chapter and then charge you another like $15 for it. But knowing me, I would probably buy it. So
has Playdead made anything else besides Limbo? Do you know?
Not as Playdead anyway. Okay. But they came from something else.
Aren't they like a
they're in Denmark.
Denmark, yeah, that's right.
Go
Denmark.
Yeah, I've got a little bit more to say, but I can tie it into Braid. So let me move on to Braid. Braid was the kind of standout artsy puzzle game before Limbo. The gimmicks of Braid were it kind of had a retro style, like a high definition retro art style to it, and that it kind of looked like it was bred of all the Super Mario Brothers and 8-bit style, but they kind of took that as the base, but then kind of watercolored over the top of it. That's how I'd describe it. And it's another game that is based entirely in chapters and puzzles that all revolve around using time in different ways. And when you get to the fourth and fifth chapter of that game, just the ability to rewind time and the way they manipulate it kind of blows your mind after a while. And That game, I remember when it came out, people were in an uproar that it shouldn't be $10 because it's so short. And it, you know, it was another three to four hour experience depending on how you handle the puzzles. But I got much more stuck in that game than I did in Limbo, and actually had to look a couple answers up after a month of not being able to beat it. I was stuck. And it has some collectible elements in it that are better done than the collectibles in Limbo. But they give you a little bit more reason to replay the levels, and then everything else about the replayability is purely for achievements. So it doesn't have any multiplayer elements or any additions like that. But I'd have to say it was a little leap at the time when it came out to do the $10, but I think it kind of ushered in a new pricing era for Xbox Live. And as a whole, compared to the rest of the library, I'd say Braid is definitely worth $10. And who else played that? Looks like Ethan, you played a little bit of Braid.
Yeah, I think it was definitely worth $10. I didn't actually finish the game because it was really difficult, and I think that says a lot about a game, is if you could just blow right through it, you know, the challenge isn't there, and challenge is what video games are all about in the very beginning. Also, from the story elements, and I kind of cheated a little bit, did a little bit of a Wicca searching, and kind of got the gist of the story, and I won't reveal that, but I almost felt like you got a game and you got a movie. I mean, it was different grounds for a game to be stepping into, and I really thought that it was a brave move, and I thought it was a move that really cemented the fact that it was a great game. I mean, the story behind it was really cool, and the twist was something that was completely unexpected. So again, yeah, $10. $10, back in the day, we played games like that, you know, for $50. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I can't argue that it was too much. I thought it was a perfect price for a game.
That's a good point. Like, I'm thinking now, you've got the gameplay, you've got the art style, and that one definitely has the story. That Limbo is kind of purposely ambiguous, which works for it, but the how the story intertwines with Braid, I forgot about that. It really completes the experience, and you know, at the end of it, it feels that much more satisfying. Tommy, what do you think?
Yeah, Braid was kind of one of the first examples of me realizing that there, you know, games were kind of evolving. Like, there could be games as art, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole Xbox Live, you know, iPhone marketplace, that type of exposure that these developers have now, it's just making all kinds of cool games come out. And but I never actually finished it either, but it's still a game I would tell anybody to get just to have on their system, to even just to show people, you know, that maybe don't know as much about games, just to show them what's possible. And I mean, I just think it's a great game. But yeah, I mean, I never even finished it, and I would still recommend it to anybody.
Nice. Christina, what, any reason you didn't pick this one up?
Again, didn't know anything about it. And from the, I don't know. I think I opened it up because it's one of the higher rated games, and it didn't sound like something I would play. So, but from hearing what so far, everything that you guys have described, I actually will probably buy as soon as we're done here. Nice. So,
Cole, and yeah. I know you're just getting back into the 360, but it didn't look like that was in your immediate list. Is it in the queue? Is it?
Oh, it's in the queue. I'm going to probably get it today as well. Because like, I can justify a $10 game over a $15 two-hour game. I played the demo, like, it came out on the Mac last year, I think, and I played the demo on that. I really liked it, but I just couldn't pull the trigger on it because I didn't want to play it on my laptop.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It's a controller game for sure.
Yeah, and I downloaded the demo last week, and, you know, I was like, oh, man, I got to get this game. So it's going to happen.
Anybody ever see the YouTube video when Soldier Boy played it? Or is that his name?
Yeah, Soldier Boy. I had heard about it. I never watched
it. I'll dig up a link for it. But basically, he's high as hell when he's shooting this video, and he just thinks this game is blowing his mind, and he YouTubed his reaction to it, and it's pretty fucking hilarious. Yeah, as far as who was right and who was wrong, similar statement to Shadow Complex. You're right if you have it, and you're wrong if you haven't bought that game. And I'm going to go ahead and say, just like I said, the Limbo versus Braid is what kind of spurred this conversation for me. And I will Braid is actually worth $15 to me, and Limbo I would take down to 10. So if that's any basis for their pricing structure, you know, Braid's got three or four major elements to it. Limbo to me is just style and puzzles, really well done, but it needs a little bit more. But having said that, after Braid came out, the developer was kind of complaining that, you know, the game actually sold pretty well, but he wasn't making very much money off of it. And so it leads me to believe that we're going to see a lot more $15 games, and hopefully that helps the developers recoup some of their expenses, and maybe that's why the games are $15 this year and not you know, a little back and forth on the 10 or 15. So,
well, do you think if like a Castle Crashers or Shadow Complex came out this year, they would be $20?
They haven't really pushed the $20 barrier too much. The only games that I found in my quick search that were $20 were the Telltale games, the Sam and Max, yeah, the series, the games that had like five or six chapters that were all, you know, they were sold separately on the computer and they packaged them together on Xbox Live. Those are the $20 games. Those are the benchmarks for that. So hopefully for the near future, the 15 is just, to me, the AAA titles on Xbox versus the other ones. And maybe, you know, maybe if Braid came out this year, it'd be 15. Maybe that's okay. Actually the solution. So, all right. Well, hopefully that sorted out some purchasing decisions for a few listeners there, but felt like that was a healthy debate, so thanks everybody. Before we wrap this up, just thought I'd go over what's coming up on HorribleNight.com. We've had a lot of internal conversations, especially since Ethan's come on board. He's given us a little bit of a new fire for writing, and we're really taking a look at how we're organizing our editorials, and would appreciate any feedback from any of our readers or as far as what series out there that have been catching your attention. And because we're really trying to figure out where what series we're best at writing versus actually engage our readers. So we're definitely interested in hearing your feedback. And so just hit us up on our contact form. If you have any ideas, we'd love to hear from you. So that's pretty much all I had to say about the website. So let's get out of here with some parting words. Tommy, do you have anything to say, or I can keep moving down the line?
I mean, one thing I think I wanted to talk about, I'll just shout out a little bit here, was the downloadable game Toy Soldiers is one we didn't mention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the downloadable game I've had the most fun with. It was just one of those. I happened to download the demo, and it just kind of clicked with me that it was just kind of my type of game. Because, you know, I grew up playing like the real-time strategies like Age of Empires and stuff like that. But this one kind of takes it to an interesting level where you actually can go in and control your units individually. And so, you know, I think that was $15, but I played that. I mean, whatever disc game I was playing at the time, I put on hold until I was done with that. And so if that's one you haven't played, I would definitely recommend at least trying the demo.
Cool. Christina, what's on your mind before we take off? Anything?
Not really.
You're
I'm kind of hoping that they take some games and like make movies out of them, and like good movies, not like, I don't know, can't even think of, you know, Mortal Kombat.
What?
I know, plastic cinema right there. But
what game stands out to you? Like,
well, Halo, of course, would.
Blah.
I just think they really fleshed out that universe enough that they could get a very cool looking movie out of it. And I don't know, some of the games that I've been playing lately, like Uncharted 2 and I don't know, even Gears, older stuff.
I saw an article on Gears today that the guy that is the director they were going to have for Gears has moved on to doing something tied with the new District 9 movie. So he's going to be focusing on that besides Gears, which is kind of interesting because District 9, that director was slated to be the Halo movie director for a while. And
oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I think that I was so excited about the possibility of Neil Blomkamp, or however you say his last name, directing Halo. And I don't know, I was really disappointed when that fell through, but I don't think we would have had District 9 if he had have done Halo, so it's kind of a trade-off.
I think you're gonna see a Halo movie, you're gonna see a Gears movie. I'm on the fence. I don't even want an Uncharted movie because I want that game to stand on its own as a game. But the other thing that's coming down the pipe would be the World of Warcraft movie, which is actually getting traction and is in production, so, or at least in the planning stages. So, I think we're going to see a new wave of game movies. Ethan, what's on your mind?
I know, you know, no one here was too hot on the idea, but StarCraft II is out. Very exciting. Come play Wizard Train. I'll be playing, getting the crap kicked out of me. But and you want to talk about movies? There's your movie right there. I mean, the trailer itself is epic enough.
Oh,
so
yes.
I could see that being an awesome movie. Not to jump on that too much. But yeah, I mean, it's an awesome game. It's gonna be cool. I'm really excited about that. And I need some people to play with so I don't play alone, because that's kind of sad.
Yeah, I mean, like I said when we were talking before, real time strategy games just aren't my thing. But Blizzard releases don't come all that often, especially new releases, not just expansions. So it's just kind of been funny that it's been a little blip on our site's radar just from our tastes in games. But it's a pretty major day that StarCraft II is actually on shelves now. And much respect to StarCraft, even though I won't be playing it. But I also I encourage anyone to go find Wizard Train and kick his ass. So.
That trailer, I have to admit, like, even though I'm not big on RTSs, they really did an awesome job with that Marine suit-up trailer. I got to see that a few years ago at a 3D convention in 3D, and that was pretty badass. So, my brother and I were talking about it, like, just last night, and it still gives us goosebumps. It's very well done, so.
But what about Cole? Before we take off,
we've kind of concentrated on the Xbox 360 downloadable content, but there are some great games on the PSN as well. Flower, which is just this weird game, and it's also another embarrassing game. I've gotten shit for it for playing it before. Joe Danger, a recent game that came out, is a great racing stunt game for $15, and I definitely think that's worth $15. And then you have, like Justin talked about, Nobi Nobi Boy and Trash Panic, we've talked about before. So, I mean, there are definitely weird, weird, weird games on the PSN that aren't necessarily on the Xbox 360.
You're also not saying that they're good. You're just saying that they're weird.
Yeah, I don't know about Nobi Nobi Boy, but Flower is cool. It's just, it's weird.
I'm with you. The only games I have on my PlayStation 3 are the exclusives, but I've got a dozen PlayStation Network games, and that's been the one bonus besides the Blu-ray player on that system for me, is that the quality of titles on that are exclusive to PlayStation Network. And we're definitely not biased. I mean, I think you're going to see just this generation for our website. We all have Xbox 360s, and that's just where all of our friends are and what we play. And so we're not trying to be biased in that regard, but it's also kind of where we're at too. So before we go, last thing I wanted to say, ran into my first case where I had to basically eat my words today when I posted the Reflex review of Castlevania Puzzle for the iPhone, because I really spouted off about the game when that was announced. And you know, I'd still do the same thing today if the news came out, but I am happy to eat my words and to at least challenge them when a game is worth playing. And I hope you see more of that in the future from our website, that we're not going to be afraid to offer our wrong opinions at any given point, but we're also not afraid to change our opinions either. And I think that's important that we're just going to kind of shoot from the hip and give you our perspective of things. And really, the interpretation is up to you. I mean, games are so subjective. We all like different types of games, and all we're hoping to offer is that you at least understand where we're coming from as individuals in our opinions of games and news stories, and would love to have some intelligent conversations with our readers about any topics like that that are a little bit fiery. So, but yeah, go spend $5 on that Castlevania puzzle for the iPhone. It's well worth it. So, all right, we're gonna get out of here. Thanks everybody for hanging out, and we will be back with another episode of The Horrible Show next Wednesday. We'll see ya.
The pleasure's all yours.